And welcome in to Willie and D-Mace here on this Wednesday afternoon. Hump day. Getting started a couple minutes after 11 today. Excellent interview with Chase and Big Joe from Titans training camp. Second day in pads. New linebacker Kenneth Murray was on with them, and he has had some good early noticeable plays. Looks like he's a good fit for the Titans' new system. So much new, so much to try to analyze. A little quieter out there today, D-Mace.
Yeah, it was.
A little quieter. It was hot, too.
Smoking.
A little hotter.
Smoking. Smoking. Fish grease out there, people.
It was fish grease.
Yeah. You know, Willie, you watch practice, and, you know, I'm used to the jawing and, you know, the back and forth and the F-bombs and A-bombs, all that other stuff. But as I'm watching this, I started to think, in what other profession – can you go up to your coworker and call them everything under the sun, basically?
almost everything
under the sun.
Almost everything.
Yeah, almost everything. As y'all watch, and everybody hears it, refs and everybody.
People on the sideline.
And you just go about your business and you line up and do it again. If that happens in the workplace, oh, we're going to HR. Having a fight. Something's happening. Somebody's getting fired. Somebody's getting reprimanded. Somebody's getting written up. Something.
You could, in the 1700s, you would have a duel.
Exactly. 1700, I would slap you with my glove, and then we'd have a duel.
Hey, yep. 20 paces apart.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. We'd do the pacing and everything else to duel it out, tell HR, whatever. This is the only profession, professional sports, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, where you can just call people names. I mean, names within reason, people. Not
right, right. Yeah. There's certain names within reason. You can't go.
But it's just like, all right, whatever. And then you throw a name back, and y'all just walk off.
Well, it's funny they had Murray on today because there was a play.
Exactly.
Where Murray was on the near sideline against Josh Wiley, and they really went at it. You could hear everything they said.
Yeah, you heard everything. Only thing
back
I
and
can
forth,
repeat.
Both of them.
Only thing I can repeat that they said was, "You soft, man. You soft." That's the only thing I can repeat on the airwaves. The only thing. But then they walked back to the huddle, and that was it.
On to the next play.
Yeah, on to the next play. So, man, if you ever get a chance, for those that, you know, if you're younger or whatnot, I don't know, and you ever get a chance to just go out to practice or just be a part of it, just do it. Just for the experience. The experience alone, I mean, it's not like your everyday workplace. I tell you that. That's what it's not like.
For sure. That's for sure. A lot quieter today, as we said. No fights. There was some jawing, as we pointed out. But I think that they got it out of their system yesterday, I hope. And Jeffrey Simmons has addressed what happened yesterday, which I think we were all wondering how he would handle himself. And I think he has done the right thing. We're going to play you what he said here in our next segment after we kind of give you some general things that happened at practice. You're also going to hear Will Levis and his thoughts after practice. I thought overall the offense looked better and sharper today than yesterday. And that's, look, it's July. It's July 31st. They've got a long way before they play a game. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of things to iron out on both sides of the ball. So we'll hear from him. The coordinators spoke earlier today. We'll go through some of what they said before the show is over. Jonathan Hutton will join us today. He was at practice. We'll get his thoughts on what he's seen out there at noon today. And one little special guest, a change of pace from all of the Titans talk, Pedro Alvarez, who is now working with the Nashville Sounds. If you don't know who he is a former National League home run champion. He was the second pick in the draft, and I have to go double-check this. I think he was just behind Steven Strasburg. I got to look at the history there. But Pedro was, in my mind, one of the most important recruits of the Tim Corbin era for Vanderbilt baseball. From New York City, a guy that easily could have gone pro out of high school, but decided to come to Vanderbilt, who at the time was gaining a little momentum, but had not done anything yet. Mm-hmm. You need those recruits that sort of take you to another level. Mm-hmm. And in the next year, it was David Price, and then it was Mike Minor and Ryan Flaherty, and then then the dominoes, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden you other people start coming. They start, whoa, what's going on at Vanderbilt? I got to go over there. Tim Corbin, yeah, oh yeah, they're good. You had to get it going. They had the foundation laid, but they need that next level of recruit. Mm-hmm. Pedro Alvarez was essential for that. So he's going to join us at 1. The Sounds have a fun home run derby they're going to be doing, kind of a celebrity big leaguer home run derby coming up in a few weeks. We'll tell you about that later in the show. But D-Mace, overall impressions at practice today, what jumped out at you?
The offense, well, really jumped out at me was Malik Willis. He looked pretty good. Now, granted, he was working with, I believe, the threes. I think he got some snaps in there with the twos, but he looked a little bit more poised than what he has looked in other camps. Now, again, take it for what it's worth, but it is noticeable. He just looks different. And listen, after 3 years, you should. You should be getting better, and he is. But what will that amount to? I don't know. But he does look better early on as he goes with the threes and sometimes with the twos. Treylon Burks, I know people are probably getting tired of hearing this, or they're listening to me and say, man, I just want to know, just get the season start, get him going, and then I will sort of make my assessment on Treylon Burks. But Treylon Burks looks good. He's noticeably slimmer, bigger. And you mentioned this, Willie. Looking at all the other receivers, he stands out.
He looks different.
Just from a physique standpoint, he stands out. And I keep saying, he is the one guy that can make this receiving core pop, that can take this receiving core where they're at. Because I think right now they are, if you're ranking them, they're probably, I would say, 12, 13, somewhere around there as far as groups of receivers, their group. But if Treylon pops, they can go from that to, I believe, in the top 10 because of they got so much versatility at what they can do. But he's the one guy that can do it all. Inside, outside, go deep, go short, run reverses, whatever you want to do, he can do it.
I remember some games, and not just one or two games. There have been a lot of games over the last few years, even on Titans teams that have been good, where on the right week, especially if they had a guy or two hurt, you would be looking around going, who is going to get open? Mm-hmm. Like, who do they have that can win a matchup? And you're hard-pressed. Maybe there's one guy, but you're like, well, they're gonna double that guy. Mm-hmm. They're going to make it really tough for you to throw it to the one guy that's left, whether it's A.J. Brown or DeAndre Hopkins. Just pick a week over the last 3 years. So that is one thing that strikes me is, as you see, Chig catch a ball, Pollard catch a ball.
Chig looked good today, too.
Chig made a lot of catches today. And then there's Ridley. There's Boyd made a really nice catch today. There's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. You know, so it just strikes me there's a lot of different guys they have who could make a play. And that's a good thing if the quarterback knows where everybody's going to be and can distribute the ball, right?
Yeah.
It's like having a basketball team where everybody on the court can shoot, but somewhere you got to have the point guard that can find these guys, right?
Will Levis is going to be that point guard that finds everybody. You got a team full of guys that, if you want to use the basketball analogy, you got four of the guys that can shoot, but you got one guy that can just do something different from all of them that can elevate everybody. Like, Clay can shoot, KD can shoot, but Steph is something different. When he's on, it's unstoppable. KD is too, but Steph, when he's on, is unstoppable.
It changes the way the defense has to play.
It changes everything. Right now, look at this pass-catching group, and they are a good pass-catching group as a whole. Now, if it was 3-4 years ago, it would elevate even more because D-Hop would have been in a different era of his play, a much better one, not older one. But right now, they got a bunch of good – if Treylon Burks can be that Stephen Curry. Like, if he's on, it changes everything from an offensive standpoint of what you can do.
I totally agree with that. It's noticeable when you watch him. Calvin Ridley – This is the first time I'm watching him up close. And he's not a physically imposing guy. He's not a really big guy. He's obviously very good, and we know what he's done on the field. But there's no comparison as a physical specimen between him and Burks. So I see what you're saying. And we know, we got to be real here, Burks has got to show that he can do it week in, week out, be on the field, be a part of the game plan. But you can't help but see it during plays in practice where you're like, wow, there are just not a lot of guys who can do that, right? Mm-hmm. Get down the field, have a size advantage against the guy he's going against, mm-hmm. be fast enough, and be big enough there. So, but it's right now, it's that
you got to see it.
That worst word that you could have is potential.
Exactly.
Right? Potential. He has been, everybody's saying he's got potential until you realize it. You can't count on it yet, mm-hmm. but it's encouraging. It's encouraging to see what could be, mm-hmm. right? But because you agree with me, right? You remember when Cody Hollister was on the field and, other guys past their prime, the long list of receivers they've had that just weren't the same. They couldn't do what they had done 5 years before they got to the Titans, the Randy Moss at mm-hmm. the end of his career. They've had a lot of guys like that. I do think that when you distribute these guys, when these guys spread out in a three-wide formation, you're going to say to yourself, and hopefully the defense is saying this to themselves, wow, we got some things to account for here. I got DeAndre Hopkins over here. I got Boyd over here. I got Burks over here. I got Ridley over here. You know, on a given play, mm-hmm. there should be three or four guys, if they're healthy, that can win a matchup.
It could potentially be a matchup conflict for opposing defenses, because if we want to just lay out three wide receivers, we can do that. But if we want to lay out four wide receivers, now you have to sort of pick who you're going to, cover or whatnot, because now you have not just three levels, you have four levels that you can get to. D-Hop is sort of the short guy, 5-10 yards. Boyd is sort of that, 10 to 12 yards. He works well in that space as well as underneath that. Then you have Ridley, who's in between that. He's that guy that, 5 to 20 yards. Not necessarily a burner. I don't know where everybody's getting this from, that he's just this burner. He's not a burner. He can get deep, but he's not. I don't think defenses are threatened by him consistently getting deep on you. But Treylon Burks is that guy that can do everything in your offense that you need a receiver to do. He can catch screen pass. He can catch quick slant. He can do the end arounds. He can do the deep balls. He can do the intermediates. He can do everything. And his catch radius, he has a big catch radius. So, and he's, from a physical standpoint, he's the most physically imposing guy they have on their team. Not taking anything away from D-Hop, but D-Hop right now, he's more finesse. He has more finesse in his game, but still has this huge catch radius. But Treylon, I think, can get down and dirty. He can get physical. But then if you need him to be sort of that finesse, I think he can. But to me, he should never be finesse. He should use his ability to out-muscle someone and be physical with someone. He should use that on every play to a point where DBs don't even want to come up and press him. You look at guys like, I remember Terrell Owens or I'm trying to think, Jimmy Smith, somebody like that, or Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin is a prime example. You didn't want to press Michael Irvin because Michael Irvin was physical.
Yeah.
He was physical
to get off the ball.
He didn't play that finesse game. He was physical with you. And you didn't want to deal with that all game. That's what Treylon Burks can do. Be physical with you at the point where after a while you're like, I don't want to do this no more. I'm not pressing this guy no more. I'm going to get back. I'm going to play him off a little bit and give him a little room. When DB started doing that, you got him.
So if you're sitting here and you're listening right now to us say this and you're like, don't tease me. I've heard this before.
I know.
I'll believe it when I see it. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. But just know that in these practices, he is popping. And this was the case 1 year ago before the injury mm-hmm. that sidelined him in Minnesota. So, okay, one day at a time, I'm trying to temper expectations, but I can't help but notice, and you can't help but notice, more importantly, that he's popping at these practices. No question about it. All right, let's switch gears. When we come back, we'll hear what Jeffrey Simmons said. Now, yesterday, unless you were under a rock somewhere or out of town, you probably are aware that, number one, he got into a fight at practice, and had he not been Jeffrey Simmons, leader of the team, big name star, plenty of players would have been tossed from the practice for doing what he did. And the referee said, in a game, you would be ejected for what you did. Then after practice, he doubled down and jawed with a media member while the media member was on the air, used some profanity. There were kids in the area. It was not a good look at all. But I think, to his credit, after he got skewered, rightfully so, on our show, Jared's show, and I'm sure every show, like, this is not what your leader does. He looked himself in the mirror. He's dealt with it. When we come back, we'll let you know what he said and how he's handled himself at practice today. You're listening to Willie and D-Mace, brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. William D. Mace coming your way from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Let's hear from Jeffrey Simmons after practice today.
Eventful day yesterday.
Well, before y'all get started, we all know what happened yesterday. A lot of y'all have been here since I've been here, so y'all know me. That's not who I am. That's not who I want to be seen as. I talked to Buck. We have an understanding. I have an understanding where we're coming from. I have an understanding where he's coming from. He have a job. I have a job. At the end of the day, I take full accountability of my actions on the field. I mean, that'll never happen again with me. Like I said, I always talk about that switch, when to turn it on, when to turn it off. I was kind of still had it on coming off the field, of course, with the way practice went. But that, like I said, that's not me. It'll never happen again. And to all you guys, like I said, I apologize. And not because it's hit social media, but it's because who I am. That's not my character. And I think from here on out, like I said, from that point, like I said, I spoke on about it. I'm ready to move forward. Any football questions, I'm here to answer.
Jeff, one question on social media.
Too, Jeffrey, that setting an example for others, is that where that's coming from also?
Most definitely. We talked about everyone know I'm a leader on the team, and I don't want none of my teammates saying that. And like I said, that's not who I am. You know, I look at myself first, because being a leader, you have to point the finger to yourself first. And like I said, me and Buck talk, we have an understanding. And like I said, I told him where I was coming from. He told me where he was coming from. Like I said, I'm ready to move on.
You seem very angry with us in general lately. What's the root of that?
That's not me. We're going to move forward from that. I'm ready to focus on football. I just want to win. Like I said, I'm not with all the social media stuff. I got a text message even from PR lady, just even delete social media while I'm in camp. Like, because like I said, I don't want to get the text message. Told my family, don't send it to me no more. None of that. But like I said, I'm not angry at you guys. I don't have nothing against you guys. You guys have a job. I have a job. We know you guys going to critique us. I mean, we not going to like it. And like I told earlier, like, we also have a right to speak our opinion as well, just like you guys. So I'm not angry with no one. Like I said, some of the stuff I just don't like, where some of the stuff be said. That's my opinion. So like I said, I'm just ready to move on from that. Like I said, yesterday is unacceptable, and we came back to practice today. Had a great day.
Just in general, do you need to get, I guess, pay less attention to social media?
I'm focused on football.
When it came to on the field yesterday and just the intensity, where's the line with that? Has Callahan talked to you guys about that at all?
I mean, just control aggression. At the end of the day, my job is to push them guys as well as they push ours. We ain't here to fight. At the end of the day, just like when me and Latham got tangled up, it's a football play. So we compete. All the extra stuff just not called for. As we know that, it's been like that because as we know in the game, you hit someone in the face mask, it's you out the game. So at the end of the day, you have to know when to draw the line. We teammates, at the end of the day, like I said, we all in here for one goal. Get each other better and get ready for September and win one game at a time.
You're pushing a lot of guys. Do you have to dial it all back in a situation like that yesterday?
You said, did I have to dial it back?
In the situation like yesterday, when it starts to get heated like that, do you have to, as a leader, dial it back, or is that?
I mean, like I say, it's all of us. We're a team. We're competing with each other. I mean, we're in the trenches. It's physical in there. Guys not gonna like when they get double teamed. Guys not gonna like when guys start tangling with them. But like I said, it's a line that you have to draw. From me, all the way down, from the third guys getting reps. But at the end of the day, like I said, we all on the same team. When we walk out that field, everything was solid. Like, you know, in the locker room, we end up talking about it. We end up talking about getting better with each other. We hear it all day. Like, no one want to take it in the locker room, where every time I see this guy, I'm still pissed off about it. So, like I said, we teammates, and that's unacceptable. Callahan said it's unacceptable, and we know it's unacceptable. So, like I said, we take it to the line of scrimmage. We're going to compete each and every day to get each other better, because, like I said, the end goal is to win.
Did you talk to Amy yesterday about what happened?
Huh?
Did you talk to Amy yesterday about what happened?
No, I think I talked to my people in the locker room. I talked to the people who I needed to talk to. I didn't talk to Miss Amy about it. I mean, I know who, like I said, I addressed it. We're moving on from it.
Okay, Jeffrey Simmons. There you have it. Now, if you listened to the show yesterday, if you're aware of what happened, then I'm sure you were kind of glued to everything he said there. Just to catch people up, if you didn't know what happened yesterday, he got in a fight during practice, and then after practice, verbally jawed with a media member while that media member was doing his job. He was actually on the air while he was doing it, and there were a lot of people in earshot, and it was not a good look, especially for somebody who, as he just said, needs to be setting the example. He is being looked upon as the leader. So, D-Mace, what did you think?
First, you know, it's good that he came out and apologized for, you know, his actions yesterday. So that's first and foremost. You know, second, you got to understand, and he said it, you know, they have a job to do. Whether you like the job that the media people are doing, whether you like, you know, what they write about you, what they don't write about you, they have a job to do, and you got to understand that. And your job is to concentrate on what's being done on the field. How are you impacting this team on the field? Your job isn't to, you know, verbally spar with the media member. And listen, I understand it. I've been in those situations. You have to know quickly where to turn it off. Even if you may say something to a media guy or girl, you got to know when the conversation, you got to end the conversation. You can't be like my son. This is the prime example of my son. And boy, he irks me with it majority of the time when he does it. He always has to have that last word or that last like gesture. And boy, he knows it. Oh, he knows it set a fire on me. He can't be like that, meaning Jeffrey. Jeffrey can't be the guy that I got to get the last word.
Sometimes the last switch. Word. He said, I have the switch. He says, he kind of said, I got to do a better job.
Yeah, he has to turn that switch off. Once the media member says whatever they need to say, you got to switch it off, man, because it's not about you. Yesterday was about you. Today was about the team. You went and you apologized. You apologized to Buck. You apologize, I'm sure, to the head coach. You addressed the team with you. You apologize to them. And I'm sure you probably had a talk with the GM. And I'm sure you apologize for your actions with the GM. So today was about the team. Yesterday should have been about the team. But you were in your feelings, as people get, and you made it about you rather than the team. I'm happy that he came back and he addressed it, but you can't have this moving forward. I'm not talking about the scuffling in practice. I'm not talking about that. That's going to happen at least while camp is going on. It shouldn't happen in the season because everything's tapered down a little bit. But this can't happen where you are verbally going at it with the media person, even if the media person you feel was completely wrong in what they said. You address it, but you don't get into the back and forth verbal, you know, sparring with them. You say what you need to say in a respectful manner, and hopefully they do the same, and you move on. What gets you is when you linger around and you start continuing to throw words out there, because you're going to throw words out there that you wish you wouldn't have. And I'm sure he threw some words out there yesterday that he wished he could have had back, because there were kids waiting there for your autograph or whoever's autograph, but they're in earshot of what you're saying. So it's not the end of the world. You're not a bad person. I didn't say he was a bad person yesterday. I just believe it was a moment. And he can't have a moment like that when you are considered, I'm going to just say, one of the leaders. Because until you prove that you can consistently not do what you did yesterday, I will consider you the leader. Right now, you are one of the leaders. You want to be the leader. You haven't reached that pinnacle of being the leader yet. You can get there, but yesterday was a setback. Today was a reclamation sort of?
Yeah, trying to work your way
exactly,
back.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you are one of the leaders. You are not the leader of this team. You're not yet. I'm not saying you can't be, but right now you're not the leader. You're one of the leaders. You want to be the leader. Well, being the leader, you gotta do things opposite of what you did yesterday, and I'm sure he will moving forward.
One of the things we talked about yesterday was the fact that they did, and Jared played the clip, and I remember listening to it at the time and saying, Rand Carthon said, we don't want Jeffrey just to be the leader of the defensive line. We look at him as the leader of the whole team. And when you're sort of anointed the leader, that's not quite the same thing, as you said, of sort of naturally earning the leadership role.
That's the mistake. Yeah. That's the mistake right there when somebody – anoint you. And I get it why Rand would say that or Brian would say that, but you can't anoint a guy a leader when he hasn't really had an opportunity to be in that leadership, like that top leadership role. You didn't just anoint Derrick Henry the leader. You just didn't anoint Kevin Byard the leader. You didn't anoint Ryan Tannehill the leader, Jarrell Casey, so forth. These are guys that earned that leadership by their play, their actions on the field and off the field.
Yes.
You just can't anoint a guy. You anointed this guy, Jeffrey Simmons, as a leader, as the leader. No, he's one of the leaders, but he's not the leader just yet. Derrick Henry earned that right to be the leader amongst leaders. Kevin Byard earned that right to be the leader along with Derrick Henry amongst the other guys right there with them. He hasn't quite earned that, but I think he can.
I really hope that this ends up being the thing that propels him to a next level of leadership, an awareness of, okay, I want to be the leader, and I do think he wants to be the leader.
Of course, then I think he does.
This is what has to be done. And if he realizes that on his own and it took this for him to get there, then maybe that's the teachable moment that this needed to be. Because what was getting floated around there yesterday, we said it, you said it especially, you said, would Eddie George or Steve McNair have ever done anything like that? The answer is obvious, no. Mm-hmm. Would Derrick Henry have ever done that? No. Jared used Roman Yossi. Mm-hmm. We know that just would never happen,
exactly.
Right? There are just certain things that the leader cannot do. And I think Jeff learned that lesson. Now, to his credit, he came back and did the right things
exactly.
Today. And he did start it by going right to Buck and having the talk with him before practice today when nobody's around. That was the right thing. It's because that if he had it in the other way around where he did the media and then went to Buck after, that's not the wrong way. So he did it in the right order. He addressed it behind the scenes to the right people, his team, his coaches, and the person, and then addressed the media. So I think that's about all you can do. The one thing that was interesting, because he got a lot of our guys, I heard Joe, I heard Jared asking follow-up questions, Paul Kuharski, they were following up with, you know, are you – you know, does this stuff bother you? Do you need to get off social media? I think that's a very interesting facet of this, because he did admit that it does bother him. Some stuff that's being said, he goes, sometimes it bothers us, and he's talking about himself, because he is sensitive to that stuff.
Yeah, and what he has to understand and what the people around him has to understand is this. And maybe I don't quite get it, but still, I mean, listen, it ain't like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, in the last 10 years since I've been retired, all of a sudden now, you know, people are writing stuff or whatnot about individual players. No, they were writing articles long ago about individual players or about a group. And it may upset you, you know, but you have to find a way to first. And he even said in an interview, and he should have said this a long time ago, like, listen, don't send me, because I never understood that. I'm thinking about this logically, Willie. Why would I send you something that I know is going to upset you? Why would I send it to you?
That's a great question, because like, people do that all the
time. Exactly. Like, why would I send it to
you? What's even worse, what used to happen a lot, and look, I've been doing sports talk for a long, long time, and one of the things that would really irk me is that somebody would get something that was said. Now, it's one thing to look at a tweet, and you see what's written in the tweet, right? That's there. Or a newspaper article.
It's there.
Where it's there. But what's even worse is a second hand, when you say, why would you do that? What people used to do would say, Derek, so-and-so on the radio show was talking about how you're a bum and you drop four passes and you're not even trying.
Exactly.
And maybe that's not exactly what was said. It's out of context, but it gets way skewed. So that is a really dangerous thing to do. It's the second hand. Here's what they're saying about you. Here's what they are saying about
this
person.
This is what he should have told.
And you say, why would you do that?
Yeah, why would
I guess as a family member, I'm like, you need to know what these people are saying about you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's not right. You're trying to stick up for your family
member.
But no,
but
your,
what he needs
buddy.
To do is don't bring that, especially not during the season, don't bring that stuff to me. I know y'all may be concerned or whatnot, but they have a job to do. I have a job to do. If I don't see it, don't bring it to me. Because you know how I am going to react.
Yeah.
Whoever brings this stuff to Jeffrey, they know his right. personality. They know how he's going to react. So if that is indeed the case, don't bring it to him. And he has to tell everybody, agent, family
members,
whoever.
It sounds like he did. Sounds like he had a discussion with somebody.
Do not bring this stuff to me. And Jeffrey needs to there's a little button on your social media thing where it says deactivate for an hour, deactivate for 72 hours, deactivate indefinitely. Use that indefinitely button right underneath it. Push that one. It's not deleting your social media. You're still going to have your followers. Everybody's still there. But just deactivate it for the next 6 months. And then after that, you know, make it active again. Because if you don't, you know how you can potentially react, and you know how it can affect you. Again, anybody that has social media but says, I don't look at it, especially in this age group, like 16 to 35, if you got a social media and you're telling me, oh, I don't pay attention to it, I don't watch it, I got a bridge in Brooklyn that I can sell you right now. I want you to buy it. I'm selling it to you for $5 million. You can have it. I write up a lease and everything for it and sell it to you. You can have it. Just give me $5 million and you can have that. It just doesn't make sense. Like, stop telling that lie to people. You look at it just like we look at it. You look at it just like we look at it. So stop lying to people. So Jeffrey did. You know, state, hey, listen, maybe I need to. No, it's not a maybe. You do need to kind of get away from it.
And it is a learned skill. I will admit, I didn't grow up with a phone next to me all the time. But I'm human like everybody else. Uh-huh. I see somebody rip me for a bad call on a broadcast. Uh-huh. My first instinct is you get mad. Or it's like an arrow. Like, oh, okay, I thought I did well there. He's pointing. pointing out a mistake or something, and I'm like, yeah, hey, buddy, yeah, you may. Everybody makes mistakes. You know, there you get defensive.
Uh-huh.
You have to train yourself not to let that stuff bother you and not to push back.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing you can do is push back. But you can have it ruin your night mm-hmm. mentally if you want, but you have to learn how to deal with that. That is the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. If you're going to take the accolades of social media
uh-huh.
and the fun of social media, you have to be able to deal with the other part of it. And it sounds like Jeffrey Simmons is still working on that part of it. And if you need to shut it down because you're still having trouble with that part of it, then that's the answer. Well, shut it down.
He needs to shut it down.
And have your family say, I'm shutting it down, so you shut it down too. I don't want to hear it.
He needs to shut it down because he doesn't – he hasn't sort of figured out a way that fine line of looking at it, but then if I look at it, I dismiss it. He hasn't found that fine line of doing that yet. So, yeah, he just needs to completely cut it off. Like, I'm not going to read my tweets or whatever, at least during the season. Now, again, after the season's up, you can pick it back up. But you have to realize that, okay, I'm here. My job is to perform on the field. It's not to have a verbal sparring match with an individual. If you get a tweet, say if you don't deactivate it, you get a tweet that you don't like, you know what you do? And this is what I found that works for me now. I look at it, and I may get upset, but I try to find the best way and the nicest way to get back at them to make them feel bad about the tweet they just sent.
Yeah, that's
sent
a tactic.
Them. Like, just going at them in a nice way.
Yeah.
Send a nice tweet to them.
Kill them with kindness.
Exactly. Yeah. And then after that, a lot of times what I found out, they have nothing to say. Or they'll come back and like, you right. My bad.
They're seeing you as a person.
Exactly.
All of a sudden.
Absolutely.
That is a strategy as well. So these are all things that hopefully Jeffrey Simmons reflected on and came to the conclusion that it appears that he did for now. Now he's got to do it every day and move forward, as he said. So we got a lot of people weighing in on our text line, 615-737-1025, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Jonathan Hutton joins us at noon. We'll get some of your texts when we come back here on Willie and D-Mace. Jonathan Hutton's coming up with us at the top of the hour. We've got a great show for you. Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Let's get to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We started off the show talking about Treylon Burks and how he is visibly showing out at practice. You can see his physical gifts. Jared from Spring Hill takes issue, D-Mace, and says, Burks and Steph Curry should never be included in the same sentence. You were talking about the ability that physically that Burks has that is just not ordinary, kind of like a Steph Curry.
Exactly.
So Jared is not not that Jared. Jared from Spring Hill.
Jared,
buying it.
Yeah, Jared. I'm sure
but this
you
is
listen.
A context here.
Yeah, Jared, I'm sure you were listening to us, but you may have sort of missed the context part. I wouldn't say that he is Steph Curry, but Steph Curry truly makes that offense pop when he's on, which is a lot of times he's on. That's sort of, to me, like what Treylon could potentially be. Once he starts to pop, it changes that offense. It changes that passing game tremendously. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, he's Steph Curry. He's going to be averaging 150 yards a game, because that's what it would be if he was Steph Curry.
Chuck texts in and says, I'm still a believer in Treylon, but I still believe given his role, he will have a breakout year. I still believe the Titans will have at least a 10-win season with their tough schedule. Chuck, the glass is half full today.
I like Chuck. Chuck, the glass is half full.
I'm not ready to go there yet, but next texter says, glad Big Jeff addressed it. I'm still a little concerned that the leader of the team is the first one to throw a punch at a player on the first day. That did happen.
Yeah, it did. And again, it's a learning situation for him. And all you can ask or want or expect is for him to change and him not to do – for this not to occur again.
Next texter says, did I hear him say that PR texted him?
Yeah, he did say, I thought I did hear something about a PR or something. They text him. And I'm going to say this.
But that's their job.
No, that's not their job to text him what they're saying about him on Twitter. That's not their job.
But was it texting him on, hey, look, we need to address this.
Was that what he was saying, like PR? He talked with PR?
Well, I know Paul Kaharsky put out a tweet saying, I give the Titans PR too much grief. Here is something they are excellent at, getting someone who is in the middle of the story to get out there and talk about it, putting the story to bed. Jeff Simmons did that today.
All right. So what he was saying is,
media relations crew is to say, look.
They didn't send it to him.
They can't make you do anything, but they can texting is one way. Hopefully conversation.
What I was saying is that I misunderstood what was being said with Jeffrey Simmons and then our texter, because they made it seem like the PR people are the people that sent Jeffrey what was said, because Jeffrey did mention people sending him stuff. And I think he might have been transitioning into the PR people telling him he needs to talk right after he said what people were sending him. So that's where I kind of got it mixed up at. But, yeah.
There's no question. That was not a regularly scheduled before the week press thing. That was in reaction to this, which is the right thing to do.
Yeah, but I don't want
anyone. They can't make you do that.
I don't want anyone to make it seem like, or that I'm saying that the PR people are the ones that sent the tweet. That sent the copy of the tweet or the screenshot of the tweet to Jeffrey Simmons, and then he got mad. I want to clarify that. I may have thought that's what I was heard, but he was transitioning with his sentence, and he was transitioning into the PR people told him it was best for him to come out and address it. So I want to clearly say that the PR people did not send him the tweets that were tweeted about, that he got upset about. I don't want people to make it seem like I'm saying they sent it to him, because they didn't. They advised him that he should come out, which they do. That's a great PR staff over there, led by Robbie and Dwight. That's a great PR staff over there. So them telling him to get out in front of it the next day, to tell him to address it, that was the right thing for them to do.
It is a very experienced PR staff.
Exactly.
Those two have been with the team now for a long time.
Yeah.
Kevin texts in and says, great leaders do what Mac 9 used to do, take no credit for good things, take all the blame for the bad things. We need that guy. I see what he's saying.
Yeah, like, I understand that.
These are the traits of a leader. That is something. And look, Jeffrey Simmons is new at this, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, he's got to earn and learn to get to that point where he is the unquestioned leader.
Exactly.
That might have been the mistake. If Rand Carthon could do it over again, maybe he holds back. You can privately hope and believe that Jeffrey Simmons is going to be the leader, but it may not be the best thing to put a guy in that place before it naturally happens. Alex from Montreal, last text of the hour. Is there a possibility to lose Burks even if he performs great? Is there a possibility to lose Burks even if he performs great?
I mean, there's always a possibility.
It's not like they got to put him on waivers or anything. Like, he's under contract. They're paying him a decent amount because he's a first-round pick. Like, they have the fifth-year option down the road. This is his third year. So they have his rights. He's under team control for as long as they want, right? They've got control of him for, if they want, three more years.
Well, they do have the possibility of potentially losing him. But losing
if they cut him, they can cut him anytime.
But losing
they
him
want.
To me is trading him away, you know.
Right.
He's doing well in camp, and I'm sure he'll do well in preseason. And then you may say, well, you know what, let's see how much we can get for him now that he's sort of showing what he can do. But I don't
you
think
will
the
not
Titans
get
will do that.
Anybody with his physical tools in exchange. I don't care what the trade is. You will not get a guy with his, because it's not going to be a first-round pick or anything close to it. So, to me, they're taking the right approach
with
him.
Just keep it.
Giving him a shot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when we come back, Jonathan Hutton will join us for hour number two from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. You're listening to Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.